All right, our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called the child whom he put among them and said, 'Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" Amen. Amen. Now, I just want you to turn and point at somebody. We ain't trying to disrespect them. Turn and point at them. You ain't got to grab by the hand, but point at them. Let them know that they're the person that you're pointing at. They're the ones you're pointing at. You've made eye contact with them because you're looking them square in the eye. And you're going to say to them, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
we can enter when we change. Neighbor,
we can enter
when we change." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "We Can Enter When We Change." The interesting thing about this scripture is that when we look at it, you would think after these disciples had spent all this time with Jesus, they would understand some things about him. They would understand that the ministry that Jesus had, it was truly all about him, but it was really all about us. We see that as Jesus went forward, it was never about him puffing himself up. His ministry was all about glorifying the Father. Jesus was someone who truly had the power, who could have lifted himself up, who could have done great things for himself. But he did all those great things for us. When they wanted to crucify him, and they crucified him, he said, "If I open my mouth and speak, I can have 1,000 angels down here to bring all of this to a halt." But what Jesus came to do is save us. He stepped down through 42 generations, took upon this flesh. So that means that he had to step from high down to low. Took this flesh upon him, self, gave his all so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, so that we could be saved, so that we could be redeemed. He did all that and was doing all of that. And as his disciples looked at him and should have been learning from him, was all the stuff that he was doing. But can we be real right now? You know what happens to us when we get in positions of leadership? Sometimes we make it more about us than anybody else. We want folk to see us, talk about us. We want folk to see how the Lord is using us, but talk less about God, but more about us. Now, if I can take you and utilize my spiritual imagination, if you can go with me for a few minutes. You see, the question that was asked to Jesus was first a question that the disciples were throwing back and forth at one another. Let me explain. You remember earlier in the Bible, in the New Testament, where Jesus sent them out two by two, especially here in Matthew, sent them out two by two and told them to go to each of the villages and proclaim the word, and if folk don't receive you there, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. And the whole purpose of shaking the dust off your feet is not to diss the people, but so that you don't hold on to what was negative. Let go of the negativity. So when you get to the new place, you now have a same positive outlook. Because if you don't let some stuff go, it'll go with you wherever you go. But let's come on back. But what is happening here is that, Reverend Dab, the disciples started having conversations. Because two went to one village and said, oh, we went to this one village, and while we were there, more 300 folk got excited about Jesus. But Reverend Rose and another group of two were saying, huh, you think that's something? The group we went and talked to at that village, we had about 600 folks shouting for Jesus. Then another group was saying, that wasn't nothing, y'all, because the place we went, we had over 1,000. And they brought us foods too.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then they began to bicker among themselves, who is the greatest.
All right.
And as they were bickering amongst one another about who is the greatest, somebody had the bright idea of saying, probably, well, let's go and ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then we see they now have gotten to the point where they now want to puff self up, put themselves in privileged positions. Because of the position that they had, they now feel entitled to be considered to be the greatest. Thank God that don't happen to us in church. Thank God we don't get the big head because we're now chairman of this, vice chair of that, or leading this or leading that. Thank God that we recognize that it's through the grace and mercy of God. I am where I am. I can do what I do, because if it hadn't been for God, I wouldn't even be in church right now. Thank God that we recognize that we know from whence we've came. We know how toe up from the flow up we once were. But when we look at ourselves now, we don't want to talk about that. I'm now important. You mean to tell me I walked into the room and y'all didn't stop talking and speak to me? We have to be careful in not thinking we're all that. A bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. Oh, Lord, we got that one down pat. We recognize that we are who we are because of the Lord who has said so.
Amen.
Do I got anybody here understand I wouldn't be where I am if the Lord hadn't said so? Do I got anybody in this place that realizes that if the Lord ain't stopped by and touched my life, ain't no telling if I'd still be breathing right now? If it had not been for the Lord who looked out for me when I wasn't looking out for myself, I know I wouldn't be here right now. Do I got anybody that's excited that you still got life? And the reason why you still got life is because there's nobody but Jesus. Oh, somebody ought to thank him right now. Okay, but hold on, y'all. We just getting started, y'all. But I need you to see this. They were so full of self that they go and approach Jesus from a selfish perspective. Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they waited to see what Jesus was going to say. But you know, if I can use my imagination, and y'all using y'all imagination with me, all the disciples are surrounding Jesus. But then Jesus goes and gets one of the babies. I ain't gonna bite you. Brings the baby out. And he puts the baby among them. Now when he puts the baby among them, could you imagine, don't go nowhere, could you imagine they all looking like, what are you bringing this girl up here? What that child doing up in here? This is an adult conversation. What you doing bringing her up in here? And Jesus says, something that goes like this. Hold on. And the reason why I'm going is because I don't want y'all to miss. I want you to think I misquoted it. He called the child and put the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that? He brought the child among them. And he said, if y'all don't become like children. Like children. Stand up. I'm not going to hurt you. Like children. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Y'all may be seated. But baby, I want you to stay here with me. Come on, walk with me. You see this child right here, y'all? She did a beautiful job singing that song, didn't she? But I want you to know, in order to get to rehearsal, Mom and Daddy got to bring it here. See the clothes she wear? Mom and Daddy paid for. The reason why she don't look undernourished? Mom and Daddy feeding her. See how her hair's done? Mama hooked it up. What you and I have to understand, she's at the age right now. She need her parents. Her mama and daddy provide for her. Amen, Grant and Tiff. You can go take your seat now, baby. She's like, all right, that's enough, Pastor. Don't keep me up here too long. But the point I'm making is Jesus is saying to them, unless you become like children, children understand that they are not independent of their parents. Amen. The reason why children have roofs on their heads is because the parents take care of them. Come on. Whether it's parents, grandparents, somebody raising them. Yeah. And you know the one thing about all of us up in here? Mm-hmm. When all of us were born into this world, mm-hmm. all we could do was holler. Holler and make some tears. And make some tears, right? Amen. Somebody had to feed us, bathe us, keep us clean. Some folks said, I ought to invest in some Pampers because it seemed like my child needed one every other hour. Somebody took care of us. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, in order for y'all to get it right, you got to know there's somebody taking care of you. And until you recognize you didn't come this far because you're all that. You remember how when you was out there slipping and dipping, sliding and gliding, sneaking and peeking? While you was doing all that, there was somebody watching over you. There was somebody keeping you. And to my bikers, you know, now you are Christian bikers. But there was a time when you wasn't had no Christian in your biking at all. Some of y'all might drop a fifth and say, I'm going to go ride about 50 miles. Not just you, but there's other folk too that retired biking because when they got off that bike and they realized they was at home and didn't know how they got there, like, Lord, I know it had to be somebody because Lord knew it wasn't me. But what Jesus was letting them understand was this. A child recognizes that they have to have faith in their parents to take care of them. He is saying that if you call yourself somebody who's going to be a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you have to understand you got to have faith in the one that took you from a nothing and made something out of you. You ain't get to where you are all by yourself. It's because of God's grace and mercy that you're able to be here right now. The Lord is the one who made a way out of no way. And so what Jesus is saying, if you got faith like a child, then you can come in. As long as you think you are in control, you ain't going nowhere. As long as you think you are large and in charge, I want you to know you can't enter in. So what Jesus is telling them then and still telling us today, you can enter, but you got to change first. Because do you remember when you first came to the Lord? Remember how messed up you were? Remember how you struggled with this and struggled with that? But then the Lord touched your life, pulled you up out that miry clay. And now that you are where you are, you recognize that there was a time you had the totality to depend on God for everything. You woke up in the morning thanking God maybe 100 times. And all through the day you found yourself saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But now that you've become a mature Christian, you might thank him in the morning. Good morning, Lord, thank you for the day. And then you go all about your business all day long. And then when you get home at night before you get ready for bed, thank you, Lord, for another day. And then you go to sleep. They did say thank you. But something else has invaded their ranks. You see, God has no issue with the people of God being prosperous. And that just means successful. God wants us to be successful because as we are successful, we ought to continue to grow the kingdom of God. But the problem that God has is when you focus more on your prosperity rather than the one that blessed you with the prosperity. When you focus more on what you got rather than the one that blessed you with what you got. And when you start looking and counting and saying all the folk the Lord had blessed you with and how big your church is and how this and that is going on, then you've lost perspective of what your ministry is all about. And you might sit there and try to toot your own horn and talk about how great you really are. But what I'm here to tell any of us, no matter what our position is here in the church, is to recognize and understand that you ain't all that and I ain't all that, but God is all that. And the only reason why any of us are here right now is because the Lord is blessing us, keeping us, guiding and directing us. We wouldn't be able to breathe if the Lord didn't bless us. We couldn't see if God didn't bless us. We couldn't walk if God didn't bless us. Our heart wouldn't pump blood unless God bless us. When we understand that we are where we are because of the grace and mercy of God, we will never get it twisted, and we will always have a childlike faith. Amen. You know why we always have a childlike faith? Because we're all children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we realize that every day that I'm here, every second that I'm here, every minute that I'm here is because my daddy is watching over me. Only reason why I can do anything in this church is because my daddy is watching over me. The only reason why I'm successful on my job is because my daddy is watching over me. No matter what I'm able to do, I'm praising my daddy because I know I couldn't do it unless my daddy was watching over me. That my daddy is providing for me. That he is maintaining me. That he is sustaining me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand and realize and recognize I am what I am because my daddy is blessing me, and I will have a childlike faith. I will depend on my Father for everything because I know all the good and perfect gifts, they come from above. And everything that my daddy has in store for me, I'm excited about it. That's how come I can come into God's house and I can give him the praise. I can come into God's house and wave my hand. I can come into God's house and shout hallelujah. I can come into God's house and say thank you. Even if I gotta say it all by myself, I know where the Lord brought me from. I know how he turned me around. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how good our God is? Somebody ought to say, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. It's all right with me.
You see, the question that they asked him was this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Ain't that what they asked? But Jesus dealt with them on what needs to be first. Because he said to them, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't even deal with what they asked him yet. He was saying, don't talk to me about no greatness. Because the way y'all talking right now, y'all can't even get in. Do you see it right here in Scripture? You see, before you talk about what you want, the first thing you got to understand is, can I get in? You see, what we do too often, and all of us are guilty sometimes, we talk about what we want rather than what we really need. You see, God deals with our needs before he gives us what we want. You see, and I think that too many times in the people of God, sometimes we get it, what y'all? Twisted. We want to talk about what we want, but God says, what do you really need? Because until you can understand what you need and appreciate your needs, don't even think that you're going to get what you want from God. That's why we got some folk in God's house frustrated, because you always talk about what you want, but you ain't really thinking about what you need. And God wants to give you what you need, because he's going to give you what you need before he gives you what you want. We can enter when we change. And that's what's happening in verse number 3. But this is where it gets interesting. He says in verse number 4, whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know the interesting thing about children? You see, even as we have them singing up here, and they looking out at us and we looking out at them, some of them, if they could, they would let a curtain drop down right in front of them and they would sing. Because they are more comfortable being in the background and less comfortable being in the foreground. You see, that is the key about the greatest in heaven. It's God taking those folk who are in the background. And the Lord say, come up. No, I don't want to come up. I want to stay back here, Lord. I can't do that. Lord, you know about my past. You know, I've done some of this. I've done some of that. And I know some folk know about me and this and that and so on and so forth. But the Lord says, come out the background. It's come. No, Lord, I can't come to the foreground. But when the Lord brings you to the foreground, he brings you kicking and screaming, and you get up to the foreground, and when you let loose and let God have his way with you, and you see how God begins to bless you and use you and magnify you, the one thing that you understand is that that's not a place you wanted to be. That's not where you were looking to get to. And you understand that no matter what folks say about you or how excited they are about your ministry, you don't talk about yourself. You talk about the one that's blessed you. And his name is what? Jesus. Because you understand that I wouldn't be where I am if the Lord hadn't brought me this far. I've come this far. And you know what? And I wasn't always a willing participant. I was resisting. But the Lord somehow tricked us to get to where we are. And now that we got to where we are, I mean, not tricked us in a negative, but brought us to a situation and didn't realize we was going to have to speak. But the Lord had it so that we had to speak. And at that point, we know we got to say something. And then when the Lord blesses us, and when folks see how the Lord is blessing us, when they want to come up and pat us on the back, we say, you got to give God the glory. Because I recognize it is nobody but the Lord that opened this door for me. It's nobody but the Lord that's made a way out of no way. It's nobody but the Lord who made me who I am to do that which I do. I recognize that it is God who has brought me this far. I recognize that it was not something I had as a plan in my life, but God said it's part of my plan. And since it's part of my plan, you're going to do what I'm calling you to do. And since you are doing it, the one thing you are not doing is putting a spotlight on yourself. You keep putting a spotlight on the one who has blessed you, and his name is what? And I want you to know it. When you keep putting the spotlight on Jesus, you want folk to know, you might see me, but it's the Lord that's working through me. And since God is working through me, I got to keep the spotlight on the one who is blessing me. And I want you to know, that's humility. Humble. You think you want to be great? Humble yourself. What does that mean to humble yourself? I'm putting others before myself. I'm praying for others before I pray for myself. I'm encouraging others. I'm doing what I can to help somebody else. I recognize that I couldn't be where I am if God hadn't blessed me. And God blessed me for a purpose. Everybody say purpose. I want every person in God's house to know that you have a purpose in the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand that it's time for you to start maneuvering in your purpose. It's time for you to stop being selfish. It's time for you to realize that this ministry is bigger than you. And since this ministry is bigger than you, you're not going to make it about you. You're going to always keep it about who? Jesus. Because you understand it is Jesus that has made a way for all of us. It is Jesus that grows us. It is Jesus that uses us. It is Jesus that blesses us. I couldn't be where I am if it had not been for Jesus. Do I got anybody that understands what I'm talking about? If it had not been for Jesus, could you be praising him right now? If it had not been for Jesus, could you even rise to your feet? If it had not been for Jesus, could you sing? Could you preach? Could you teach? Could you serve? You couldn't do none of that if you didn't have
Jesus.
Young people, it's all about you continuing to serve. You serve to the best of your ability. You do what you can do because you're doing it for who, young people? That's right, Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. As long as you're doing what you're doing for Jesus, Jesus is going to take care of you. I know those SOLs is coming up. Some of y'all done took some of them. I want you to know ain't nothing wrong with you saying a little prayer before you say take any test. Amen. Because the Lord's going to help you open up your mind to grow. Because I want you to know we serve a God who is the totality of who we are. He's with us at every aspect and with everything that we do. When you're out there shooting hoops, it's Jesus. When you're out there taking tests, it's Jesus. You out there doing double dutch, it's Jesus. If you're able to get your hair done, it's Jesus. I don't care what it is in your life. Jesus is all tied up in it. Because I want you to know the Lord is with you at all times. He is never far. He is always present. Do I got anybody who knows that Jesus is present? And since he is present, I thank him for his presence in my life, because I would have made some bad choices if I didn't have Jesus in my life. And now that I got him on my life, I'm going to walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Because you know what I want to know? I want you to know I can enter. Because the changes have been made. Do I got some other folk who know you can get in? Because you made the changes? Because it's all about having a childlike faith? Because we have a heavenly Father who provides for us on every aspect of our lives? You see, my brothers and sisters, that's how come we have to see this last aspect. It says, when you welcome one of these children, or when you welcome this child in my name, you welcome me. Y'all ready for this last piece? When you treat other folk of God like dirt, don't get mad when some dirt fall on you. When you treat one of God's children like they are insignificant, don't get mad when you start feeling like you are insignificant. You say, oh, I love the Lord. He the head of my life. He my all in all. He the wheel in the center of the wheel. He the lily in the valley. He the bright and morning star. I just can't stand her. And then we wonder, Lord, I didn't do nothing wrong. Why does it seem like I just going to have a hard time? Oh, child, yeah, you know, I saw that child in church, and she was, oh, did you see? Oh, I saw it too. Yeah. Y'all, the day is coming on. It's time for the people of God to move forward in unity. I know we're all different. We come from various backgrounds. We come from various parts of the country. But guess what? We are here because this is where God called us to be. You see, the disciples were brought together, and it was a ragtag bunch of diversity. And through those 12, 11 took the gospel to the entire world. That's why the gospel is where it is today. And with all of the diversity that exists within us, from all various levels, if we come together in unity, there's nothing that we as the people of God cannot do in the name of Jesus. The Lord said he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So what am I saying to us? It's not about just me getting in because I changed. It's about we all getting in because we have changed. So what does that mean? I love you. I'm concerned about you. I want to help you. And as we bond that way, then I want to help you because I'm concerned about you. And then what do? You turn it as to say, I'm concerned about you. I want to help you. And if we all continue to say that to one another and we create the bond within the church, you tell me what can stop us from doing great things in the name of Jesus. The Lord is elevating us, Broad Rock. The Lord is moving us, Broad Rock. He wants to prepare us for that next building, Broad Rock. And the only way that's going to happen is if we move together in what? You see, and in order for us to move together in unity, we got to see each other as just important as I see myself. I need to see you. I need to care about you like I care about me. And that's why God called me to preach. And you know how I went? Kicking and screaming. It was not what I wanted to do. Some of y'all know the story, but I ain't going to go into it now. But I'm thankful that God, in spite of what I've done, where I've been, he still called this big hit dude. He could have left me out there, y'all. But he didn't. So now, when folk want to tell me, oh, well, I appreciate how you did this. No, no, no. I thank you for saying that, but we praise God. Because God gets the... Because I couldn't do a thing without the grace and mercy of God. And that's not just my story. That's also your story. Because all of us done been through some muck and some mire. All of us done had some struggles in our lives. All of us had points we thought we was going to give up. But what God is saying, you ain't got to give up because I'm going to get you through. And when we did give out, when we woke up, we didn't realize how far God had brought us. Because it was God that was lifting us and taking us. Even when we ain't had the strength to do it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and what you're doing. We can enter when we change. We can enter when we change. I want you to turn to somebody, look at them right now, and say, neighbor, I'm here for you. Please be here for me. Let us all rise.